Holy Spirit, we want to ask for your presence among us this morning. We know that you were present when your word was written, and so we ask now in our hearts you'd be present, Father, as we think about what it means to go out on mission as your people. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we are currently doing a term-long series on our new mission and vision here at DPC. We're sort of spending 3 weeks on our mission, the statement that we'll do is for all time, and then a few more weeks on our vision, which is what we want to see in a few years from now. We've done the first 2 weeks of our mission, and so far, the first 2 weeks, there really are things that we could pretty much sit at home in our lounge room and do. The first 2 weeks of our mission have been to follow Jesus and grow as his people. Now, they're pretty good things, and they're biblical things, but the truth is, I think you could kind of follow Jesus and grow either in your own lounge room or just here for an hour on Sunday and not a whole much else. This week, though, as we take a look at the third part of our mission, it's going to tell us to get up and move out. This is the bit that gets a little bit more uncomfortable, because what it's going to say is not only do we need to follow Jesus and grow as his people, but we need to go and reach the world. A move that will eventually end in evangelism, and we'll look in particular at how to do evangelism in 2 weeks from now. But what I want to ask this morning is it really so necessary to talk so much about being outward looking and going and reaching the world? Is it really so necessary, especially in a day and age where people are very hostile to the gospel? Isn't it enough just to hang on and just to get through? As we ask those questions this morning, I want to go to the Bible and look at the answers under three ideas. What we're going to do is look at God's character, God's history, and God's Christ. His character, his history, and his Christ to give us the answers about whether or not it's really necessary to be talking about going. Firstly, I want to go to God's character, and we're going to jump in the deep end here this morning, so if you've got heat exhaustion, you're just going to have to snap out of it for a minute, because we're going straight to the Trinity, all right? Easy concept. And to set us up to think about this, I want you to imagine two islands. One island has one man on it, and one island has three on it. Okay, these people, they're relational, they're people who want to have friends, they want to do great things. And you've got this island with one man on it. He's got all the food and drink that he needs and all of that and all the kind of furniture and everything. And here he is sitting on the island all by himself. Then you've got the second island. All right, I'm going to drive the cameraman mad today. You've got the second island. It's got three people on it. And these three people have got all they need, all the food and drink, but they've also got all the friendship and all the fun. And they're having a great time. That first island, you've got that one guy who is really lonely and he's saying, come over here and help me. On the second island, you've got these three people having a great time with everything they need, all the friends they need, all the relationship. They're on the island, they're saying, this is fantastic. I wish other people could know about this. Wouldn't it be great if other people could enjoy it? And I tell you that because this is the kind of biblical picture of the Trinity, of God's character, that's really important to understand before we're talking about going out on mission with the gospel. Because the picture we're given of God is this God who is one, yet three, and three who are in perfect relationship and have everything they need and would love others to join them. I'm going to give you a small insight of this. It's from our first reading in John chapter 17. And there the Lord Jesus is praying about all the people who will become his followers. And in his prayer, one of the things he talks about is the greatness of the relationship the Son had with the Father even before creation. Everything was wonderful and perfect and fantastic and beautiful and loving and glorious. It's in John chapter 17 and verse 24. And it will come up for you on the screen. Jesus prays in verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You loved me before the creation of the world and gave me glory. This is so important. Our God, the Christian God, wasn't needy. He didn't need to make anything. The Father loved the Son loved the Father, and as we'd read in the rest of the New Testament, the Spirit loved the Father and the Son. It was perfect. An eternal existence of blessing and joy and goodness and holiness, an island of life that was fantastic. And here's the thing. God wants to go out, put others on a boat and bring them to the island to share it. God doesn't want the love and the glory and the eternity all to himself. He wants others to know just how good it is. The Father, Son, and Spirit want their blessing to go out that others might come in. Jesus goes on in his prayer in John chapter 17 from verse 26. I have made you known to them, Father, Jesus says, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me might be in them, and that I myself might be in them. Jesus says he wants people to know the same kind of love, the same kind of glory, the same kind of beauty that he and his Father have always shared. God doesn't need us. He's not dependent on us. He's not desperately hoping that some people will come and follow him so he can look better. He wants to share his blessing. His desire is to go out and bring others to swim in his goodness. God's baseline desire in his character is to bless. I don't know if you get that, but I hope that you do. God isn't the kind of God who's sort of sitting there counting his people, going, you know, if I had 32 more, I'd be slightly better than that other guy. He isn't sitting there at night thinking, right, who can I get to come and do something with me tonight? Who's going to come? I'm going to text 40 people and hopefully two will reply. God is not the kind of God who's writing Facebook messages that says, give me a like. No, he's the kind of God who has absolutely everything and he wants to bless you. He wants to come to you and invite you to be with him and to enjoy his glory. Any other type of God is needy and dependent and, frankly, potentially unpleasant. God's character is to bless. And let's go to our second point, God's history. God's history is one of continuing to go to bless his people. And my, oh my, he is very persistent and very consistent. It's a bit like there's this guy who, ever since I've been in Dalby, probably before that, has been trying to sell my boss printer cartridges. Now, for those of you who don't realise, my boss is Ross, the senior pastor, and not long after I got here, I get a call and I answer the office phone, which is pretty rare, and the man says, is Pastor Ross there? No, he's not. Ah, well, I'll call him another time. Didn't think much of it. A few weeks later, same guy calls. Is Pastor Ross there? I'm trying to get in touch with him about printer cartridges. No, he's not there, but I can give you his mobile. And this guy has kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. And I don't know if Ross has really cracked it at him yet, but he's had some pretty firm words. Very persistent, very consistent. And God's history in the Old Testament is that he has consistently gone after his people to try and bless them, to try and bring them to be with him. And he's not giving up. From the very opening of the history of the world, in Genesis chapter 1, God makes people, he makes men and women, and he makes them and he says to them, be blessed and go and have a great time. Genesis 1:27 is where I want to look with you. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created. God blessed them. He said to them, go and be fruitful, go and multiply. Have a good time on my earth with me. He wanted to bless them. Many of you will know the story. Adam and Eve think that they can live the blessed life without the blessed God, and so they reject him. God doesn't give up. His history is consistent and persistent, and so we flick forward to Genesis chapter 12, where God says he's going to birth the new nation of Israel under Abram, and through Abram he's going to bless people. I don't know if you know much about the story of Abram, but I love it. Abram, who later becomes Abraham, is a guy who pops up three verses before he's the star. This is what you know about him. His dad is from a pagan land. His wife and his sister-in-law have got the same names of moon gods, and he's got nothing. Here's Abram, a nobody with nothing going nowhere. And God picks him out and says, you're going to be the center of my blessing. I want to bless you and through you. So have a look at Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. The Lord says to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. God keeps going after them. Even though the nation of Israel is born and they do move into their own promised land, rather than sticking with the blessed God for the blessed life, they turn their back on God and they reject him and they go after other gods and it all goes to pot. And yet God's history is, he says in the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I am going to come and get you and I'm going to come and get everyone else and I want salvation and blessing to come to people. And so we read in Isaiah the prophet in chapter 49 from verse 6, God says to Isaiah, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that not my salvation, my blessing may reach the ends of the earth. God's character is one of going out to bless. God's history is the consistent and persistent drumbeat of going after people that they might enjoy him and be blessed by him. And he just keeps on going. And let me tell you, God will keep on going after you. I don't know how you're feeling this morning, whether you're at a point in your life where you feel that God is far off from you, whether the last days, weeks, months, years, decades, you feel like you've been so far from God's blessing it couldn't possibly come back. Let me say to you, God has spent millennia going after his people to bless them. A couple of your days or weeks or years or your decades from his blessing is not going to stop him coming after you. God's character is to bless. His history is to bless. And finally, we'll go to God's Christ. Because despite God's character and God's history, humanity has responded by continually rejecting God. And it's not until God's Christ we see just how far God will go. I mean, just imagine for a minute, what would you would do if you owned a beautiful home and the people you invited in trashed it? Let's say you own a beautiful place. It's got five bedrooms and a beautiful pool, and here's the best bit, ducted air conditioning. And it's always 21 and the humidity is always 20%. And it's so good. And you say to people, look, this is so good. Come over and have a good time with me and don't get heat exhaustion. It's so good. Enjoy it. And your friends come over and they're having a good time. And then suddenly they lock you in the bedroom and they trash your house. And then they whinge because you won't bring them dinner. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you do. And I hope you haven't got a gun. Because it won't be pleasant. This is how people, you and me and people throughout history, have responded to God. God offers this blessing, and yet our response is to want the blessed life and the lovely house and the beautiful island without the awesome blessing God who's behind it all. And we ought to be kicked out for that. We ought to be punished. See, when Jesus comes to earth, he experiences just this. John chapter 1 tells us early on in verse 11 that Jesus goes to his own and his own reject him. But just like God's character and history, Jesus doesn't give up. And you'll know the story that what Jesus does is he goes all the way to the cross, where instead of you and I being punished For our rejection of God, Jesus is punished on our behalf. And Jesus dies for our sin. And so we're still allowed in God's house, even though we've trashed it. And through the message of the gospel that Jesus dies for our sin and raises to life so we can be blessed by God, we can know God again. And Jesus says, listen, come with me. You need forgiveness. I want you to have the blessed life with my Father. And I want you to keep doing what God's done all along. Keep going out and keep letting people know the life of blessing with God is still available through me. People can come to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and I will always be with them. This is what's behind the Great Commission that is so famous in Matthew chapter 28. Let me read Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. Jesus goes to his disciples and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. God goes out to bring people into blessing. By his character, by his history, by his Christ. And the movement of God has kept going since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In 42 AD, less than 10 years after Jesus' resurrection, Mark, the author of the gospel, takes the message of Jesus to Egypt. In 49 AD, Paul, having been converted from Judaism, goes to Turkey on his first mission. 51 AD, Paul takes his second trip around the Mediterranean, taking the church to the ancient nation of Greece. 52 AD, the disciple Thomas goes to the subcontinent. Christianity is now in India. 54, Paul goes on his third missionary journey, covering everything around the Aegean. 174 AD, the first Christians are in Austria. Year 280, the church emerges in rural Italy when God goes bush. For the first recorded time, Christianity is no longer a religion just for the cities. 350 AD, 31.7 million or 53% of the Roman Empire are proclaiming Christ as Lord. The church has grown by over 26,000%. 432 AD, Patrick goes to Ireland, and we celebrate this when he takes the gospel to Ireland on March 17 every year by wearing green and getting drunk. 596 AD, Gregory sends Augustine into England to reintroduce the gospel in Canterbury. In just 1 year, 10,000 people join the blessed life of God in the new church. 635, the first Christian missionaries go to China. 740, Irish monks reach Iceland. 900, missionaries go to Norway. By 1200 AD, before the printing press is invented, the Bible is in 22 different languages. 1498, the first Christians are reported in Kenya. 1554, missionaries arrive in Thailand. Within months, there are 1,500 converts. In 1630, there's an attempt in El Paso, Texas, to establish mission amongst the Indians. 1793, and I love this story, 1793, they build the first church in Sydney, the Reverend Richard Johnson. 5 years later, in 1798, the convicts burn it down. Aussies love it. 1810, God's going to keep going. He builds it again. 1845, the now massive Baptist Southern Convention is born in the United States. In the early 1860s, a group of people started meeting in what was then the Dalby Courthouse. In 1869, St. Thomas's Presbyterian Church, Dalby, is officially born. October 1992, with a vision to go and reach more people for Christ in future, you with some risk-taking leaders move your church family down here, and the gospel continues to go out. And now, it is simply our turn. God has been going out to bless the nations for the entirety of his character, the entirety of his history, and through his Christ, and now through us, he says, go. This morning, if you're here as someone who is not a Christian, you don't yet belong to Jesus, you're not yet prepared to go the whole way, let me say the reason that you're here is because God is going for you. And the truth is, Christians and me, you know, you can probably stop me from trying to ram Jesus down your throat. I reckon you could. But you will not be able to stop God going for your heart. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Join the blessed life of God. And sadly, I do want to say there are people who are Christians here this morning who actually don't really see any need to go out with the gospel. There's a kind of person who has a position in their heart, although you might not say this, is that, God, there are so many churches in Australia. If someone really wants to know about Jesus, they go and find out themselves. And your attitude is kind of, well, that's up to them. It's up to someone else. I'm not going to do that. It's not really your fault people are so lazy, is it? I mean, it's a ridiculous attitude. You are a follower of God who is determined to go out and bring his blessing, who by his character, his history, his Christ has gone out with the gospel. You've received the gospel and yet you've got the hide to stand there and say, I know Jesus says go and make disciples, but it stops with me. Repent. Repent. If you think it's others' job to go and find God themselves, you've misunderstood God's character, you've misread God's history, you've missed Christ, and you've mistakenly overestimated yourself. Repent. And join in with the many people in this church family who want to go with God to reach the world for Jesus. I mean, this is a church with a wonderful heritage of gospel mission. At the moment, there are 7 kind of missionaries spread across the globe and here in Australia. Mark and Susan Chapman, Hilton and Justina DeMelion, John and Rose Evans, Paul Smith, Linda Goldthorpe, Dion and Annette Bremner, Greg and Janet Cripps, Keith and Norma Briggs. They're just going out with the gospel and you guys are behind them. There are at least 6 scripture teachers who are going to state schools with the gospel. Gemma Campbell, Kathleen Smith, Deb Shaw, Joy Kite, Lynn Cumro, Loretta Vickery. There could be others. Countless numbers of you who go to your family as the only Christian, praying that God would open someone's heart, that God would give you the words. There are hundreds of you who are going to work and to school and to sports group as Christian men and women who do in your heart want to go, but it's so hard. You're unsure of what to say, but you don't want to hide, and you're sort of looking for the moment, and you see a video of Glenn and Speck up there, and you think, God, why won't you give me a chance like that? And there are a few of you who are dramatically thinking of changing your life to go and serve churches and overseas mission fields full time, helping others to take the gospel to their own backyards. We are people of a God who goes out to bring blessing and calls us to do the same. And that's why going is a non-negotiable part of this church's mission. We are a church who wants to follow Jesus, to grow as his people, and go reach the world. Let me pray. Oh, our Father, we just want to thank you so much for your wonderful character, that as Father, Son, and Spirit, you have this blessed and perfect existence, and yet in your goodness, your desire is to share it. You want us to know it and enjoy it. Thanks for your history of persistently and consistently chasing after your people to bless them. Thanks for your Christ, who goes all the way to the cross and dies for our sin of rejecting your blessing. We just thank you that we can be saved through the Lord Jesus and brought to life with you. And Father, we do want others to know your blessing and your life. And we pray that you might help us to be people and to be a church that goes with the gospel in whatever we do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.